Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, welcome to show number 10. This is Ultimate Couch Fans. I'm Christian O'Connell. Thank you very much for downloading. Look who's with me. Turkish Bri's back.
I'm back in the house.
I'm curious, by the way, because where have you been then over the weekend? Were you actually in this country?
I was in this country. Do you know what? My wife and child saw me for a full weekend, my friend.
Oh, wow.
I know, yeah. It was really annoying because she obviously had the other man in the house as well. Yeah. So that was awkward, oh, you know.
Smoothies. That's John Jones for you, isn't he?
Neutrobullets house. Only do two smoothies. So it was like, how are we going to spread this between all three of us?
And so you are, this is what we're going to do today's show then. I've got a load of brilliant questions that loads of you have sent in. Thank you very much for those. We will talk about UFC Rotterdam. It wasn't as bad as
mate,
said it
wasn't
it was
as bad,
be.
But there's lots to talk about because, we will get onto it.
And then we do Heroes and Villains. Samster is ready to talk to us. And then we'll talk about this weekend, UFC 215.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Which now I am really looking forward about. All right, so thank you very much for downloading the show. Thank you very much for these questions as well. Let's get straight into this one. Mark Hassner. Hi, lads. Is the UFC listening? Do you know what? The IQ of our listeners is better than us.
Really?
I was just saying to Bri before the show how we were really, really sniffy about UFC Glasgow.
Yes.
Didn't even mention Rotterdam. We just went, ugh. Rotterdam wasn't that bad.
And Glasgow was good.
Was really
Glasgow
good.
Glasgow was awesome.
What we have done in our 10 episodes was oversell McGregor's chances.
Hey, wolf tickets
what
over here. Come and get your wolf
touch
tickets.
We've got.
That's right.
Basically, ignore everything we say.
Yeah.
So, hi lads, is the UFC lessening the idea of what it means to be a world champion recently, giving interim belts to anyone who wants one, and being more interested in super fights? Would something like a Super 6 tournament like they have in boxing make things more interesting and stop us fans complaining about who deserves a title shot? Mark Hassa, great point, great question.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think you've got to say yes, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of interim belts around at the moment, and the UFC has changed, I think, with the new owners. The fact that no disrespect to GSP, but just can come in and put the middleweight division on hold.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Same with the lightweight division. Conor McGregor just and the featherweight, he just disappeared.
Brock coming in, coming out, and now there's talk that CM Punk's making a return.
Which belt's he fighting for?
He's fighting Paul Malignaggi.
Get him on the phone. Let's get him on.
Let's wake him up. But that's a really good. It is really frustrating. I actually think your Super Six tournament is a great idea.
It's a great idea, but what happened with boxing? And let's go back to the middleweight tournament that was phenomenal with Karl Froch, Josh Abrahams, and
Colonel Abrahams.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Colonel Abrahams.
He was trapped at the end of the sixth round. Thank you.
But when you had all those together, that was the first time that all these like the best of the best in that weight division had come together, and it was amazing. It relit that division, everybody shone within that tournament. It was a fantastic thing. But that was when boxing needed something like that to happen, and they were struggling for pay-per-views, for stars. The UFC shouldn't be like that. Also,
I think a lot of the divisions now are actually, they're stacked.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent inside the top 10.
And what the UFC used to do really well before they were looking for just money fights, for the gold at the end of the rainbow, was they built stars.
They had eliminations, and so you had to have a string. You had to be in a run before you got anywhere near a title shot.
Yeah, and the stories, they would tell the stories as well with the fights. So the layers they used to put into building their stars have disappeared because they are cash grabbing. They're literally smash and grab.
And we'll talk about this in the second half of the show when it comes to Demetrius Johnson and and he doesn't get enough love because all you ever hear is, yeah, he's an amazing fighter, but he doesn't get many good pay-per-views. What's more important? What do you want?
Exactly.
Fake shows or real genuine talent?
He will be the one that will be, and it's, they've said it before, they said it even in the broadcast, he'll be appreciated more when he's gone than when he's around. And that's a sad thing because he's the best athlete and the most technical fighter we've ever seen in the cage.
So, Mark, awesome question. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Mark.
This one is from Ollie, OC and Brian. I have two questions, if I may.
Dig in, Ollie.
My first question. I'm a massive John Jones fan, and despite his previous, still believed he was a clean athlete until recently. I'm not sure where I stand. What are you, his missus?
Come on,
I'm not sure where I stand. Ollie Doherty doesn't know where he stands.
Listen, I need to know. What is this?
Are we going out together?
What's going on?
Steady?
Are you seeing other fighters in the cage?
Are you a smackhead?
What's going on?
I don't even know who you are now, John Jones.
Are you splitting that gram with me or not? What's going on, John Jones?
I don't know where I stand.
I don't know where
Hold Ollie. He's confused. Can an athlete and his team, right at the pinnacle... I love this. This is like an angry letter to the newspaper.
I love it. Let it out.
How can an athlete and his team, right at the pinnacle of his sport, not understand or know what supplements are legal and what is not? Can he clear his name and save his career? This is 50 questions. When are the retest results due? If he is guilty of banned substance use, is his UFC career over? Why would such a talent feel the need to cheat? And how long has he been doing it? How long has this been going on, John Jones?
Listen, Ollie.
Taking drugs behind my back.
Listen, Ollie, first of all, just message next week to let us know you're okay, all right, Ollie? Because Christ.
He's in a world of pain.
This is a world of pain.
I think he's more upset about what's going on than John Jones. John Jones is going to hear this and call him and go, listen, mate, it's all right, I've got some dick pills you can
have. That's it. That's fine. Is he going to be... UFC will not be over. Career will not be over. He'll always be that star. He'll always
He's in his prime.
Oh, we're going to miss that. He'll disappear for 4 years, which is tragic.
But will he come back?
He'll come back at flyweight because he'll have done that much crack.
I don't know.
No, it's tough. And also that with the test, something went on this on social media this week that they said the test on the day of the fight or the day after the fight.
So the blood test.
The blood test came back clean. Now this is the mix up. So turanabol is a urine. You test that in urine. So everybody suddenly went, oh, his bloods are clear. Well, that's because they're not testing for turanabol in the blood. So everybody who suddenly went, well, he's going to be vindicated. This is all a big cock up by USADA again. It's not. They do not release these things unless they've tested it 3 or 4 times. So John Jones had it in his system. We've now got to find out why. And
so when do we find that out? I don't know where I stand now, like Ollie.
Listen, Ollie.
He's torn the show into pieces.
This is it. Listen,
Chris, this whole flimsy house of cards has gone tumbling down around our ears.
Christian self-harming in front of me now, Ollie. This is not working. So we will find USADA will go and investigate. Obviously, John Jones will have the right to appeal, and it will be a long, drawn-out process.
Do you know what? In all seriousness, if there's anyone listening to this who knows a lot about this stuff, I reckon we need a show pharmacist.
That'd be amazing.
Because actually, you have to become an instant expert now about blood tests, urine tests,
and listen,
turanabol. I couldn't even say the word a couple of weeks ago. Now I pass myself off as like some kind of amateur pharmacist. Yeah, the thing is, it's turanabol. When you pop for turanabol, it actually means you've been up to something else.
Exactly. That's
Don't
the
even
thing.
Get me started on turanabol.
So, and also, what we could do if we can get a show pharmacist.
I thought you said if we can get hold of some turanabol. I need some for the weekend.
Don't be absolutely honest. I could probably get you some turanabol. Off to Kazakhstan this weekend. if we could get a pharmacist, maybe one of us should go through one of the processes. We'll see what happens.
You mean take all the drugs?
This is what I want.
Okay, you put yourself forward again.
Load me up with drugs.
All right, okay.
Let's go.
Ollie, I hope you're okay, mate. Please let us know how you are in the next couple of days. We're going to need your belt and shoelaces, Ollie. Next question. What are your thoughts? If Mighty Mouse wins at the weekend, will he be considered the greatest of all time in the years to come? Or when we look back, we will just think of fighters like GSP, Connor, Anderson Silva, or even John Jones. Even though it looks like he's going to hold the longest championship defence record, or does he have to have a super fight with someone like Cody Garbrandt or TJ Dillashaw to be considered? We started touching on it, so we might as well get into it. I don't think you can say that he isn't the greatest.
No.
Just in terms of his... I've never seen him look anywhere near close to being beaten.
No.
He doesn't have any weaknesses or blind sides. You know, like, if you put a wrestler in with him, he will just out-wrestle then. Anyone who's good at jiu-jitsu, you know, he just totally mauls them. As a striker, a kickboxer, he's the whole 360
fighter. And
he finishes
yeah, fights as well. So that's the other thing that is, when he's talking about GSP, and he always talked about his record. He's like, well, he grinds out decisions.
Yep.
Demetrius Johnson
Dan Hardy, yeah.
does not, yeah, he Demetrius Johnson does not do that.
No.
He finishes fights. And I think the key phrase in that was, in the future, will he be considered the greatest of all time?
Yeah, it's a shame, though.
And it will be in the future. We'll look back and we'll go, look at what the shit this man did, because he's amazing in the cage. His relationship with his coach is fantastic.
Yeah, he's got a great coach.
Oh, it's stunning, the wizard. I just think he will not be appreciated right now as much as he will be in the future.
I think the only thing that would have possibly put it into doubt that he's the greatest is John Jones. If John Jones had, quote DC, got his shit together, and we wouldn't be in the situation, we don't know what's going on, and he went on to have another couple of years, I think then you'd have competition between them. Because of a skill set, there's no John Jones has got all of the skills and then some. He's like a phenom.
Yeah,
but he's never had the consistency due to many reasons.
Due to one reason, himself.
That is
the absolute truth. And
sad thing.
You're bang on with that. Well, I agree 100%.
That's the only person who could ever get an interest in terms of a skill set.
Yeah, skill set and record as well. John Jones, the only loss on his record is Matt Hamill, which was a downward elbow, which is, it's not a loss.
It's a technicality.
You watch that fight and you ask Matt Hamill, who the hell was winning?
Well, even Matt Hamill was like, no, come on.
Guys.
Come on, this isn't fair. These are great questions. This is from Mick McGinley. Christian,
it's a great name.
It is, isn't he? Sounds like an old school wrestler.
Yeah,
Pat Bomber Roach.
Bring in Mick McGinley.
Just want to know what fight got you guys into MMA or the UFC. For me, it was Brock Lesnar going over to UFC in 2008 when I was 15. Thought I'd just watch it out of curiosity. I've never seen anything like it before. Became an instant fan. When was you? Mine goes back quite a long time, actually. I think one of the first UFC fights I've seen was one of the really early ones I saw in the UK. When there was a Geordie fight, Ian Machine Gun Freeman.
Oh, at the Albert Hall against Frank Mir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and there were fighters like Carlos Newton might have been on the bill. Yep. And it was like, I don't even know. That's early.
That is early years. So
early
you're
years.
Jumping way back to like 2000, 2002, something like that. So.
And then I remember the first one I got taken by Bravo, which doesn't even exist anymore, to see Bisping in Manchester fight Elvis Sinichik. That's my first UFC fight I ever
really?
Saw. Yep.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
It was after Sinichik got beaten. He got quite beaten by, quite bad. He got beaten up by Bisping. And afterwards, where I was sat with my mate, Elvis Sinichik just turned up and sat next to us. And he was literally had about four ice bags on his face. And I just started chatting to him. I bought him a beer. He's an Aussie guy. He's a really nice guy. But, you know, it's the rare time you've actually seen what happens to a fighter afterwards.
Yeah.
And you think about 5 minutes ago, we were cheering.
Yeah.
To get those cuts and those bruises.
We were baying for blood. We're not just cheering.
I handed him this beer. I heard him go, ugh. I went, you're right, because ribs.
Ribs.
Really bad. And I actually said, you know what? A couple of minutes ago, I was actually cheering for you to get smashed in the ribs.
You said that to him.
Yeah. I thought he was actually going to lamp me. I thought, he can't actually move his arm.
I can have him.
It just fell on me.
Go for the ribs, Christian. Go for the ribs.
But great question. And this is one I'm going to ask this question now. And then I think you'll agree with me, Brian, I want time to answer this and come back next week. And I think we should all reconvene because it's a big question. Daniel Hunter, if you were to build the perfect MMA artist, what attributes would you apply? I'm going to hold it there because it's such a great question. Like the mind, the left hand of Connor.
The chin.
The bank balance of Connor. Do you know what? Let's come back next week.
That's
that
a great question, though. I like that.
Are we going to give the gloves to it? Do you know what? I think there's one guy who needs a helping hand now.
Ollie.
Also, given those gloves, it's harder for him to tie a noose, isn't it? With those little four-ounce gloves.
Oh, congratulations, Ollie. There you
all
go,
right.
Mate.
Okay, right. Let's talk about UFC Stinkerdam. No, Sorry, that was...
Come on.
It wasn't that bad.
Mate. It really wasn't that bad.
No.
It really wasn't that bad.
What were the highlights? Volkov is having a good year, isn't he?
Volkov's having a great year, and he's moved over from M1 and he caused a lot of problems there as well. He looked good. Kickboxing wise, he's He's everything that you want.
Not the prettiest of fights at time. It was a lot of war of attrition at times.
Also,
but he chopped him down.
He did. He literally chopped down the skyscraper.
Struve's an awkward fighter.
But consistently gets hit by the same shots. Yeah. That's the problem. So he's got the same holes in his game, and he doesn't seem to fix them.
Yeah.
But with Stefan Struve, this is the thing I love about his story. He's coming back off the back of all those heart problems and stuff like. Remember that Matt Mitrione when you're supposed to fight him and he had a panic attack and he couldn't go through with it, and then there was that film of Mitrione in the back consoling him.
Yeah.
You thought he'd never make the walk again. So for this young man to
I've interviewed Struve as well. He's a really good guy
great.
As well.
He's got
an interesting story and
he's massive.
He's ridiculous. He's a bizarre looking dude. You know, you look at it and you can't put it all together, can you?
You can't put the fact that we are the same as him.
He looks like a different race.
Yeah, we're not just different from it. Like
you know when there are sci-fi movies and there's like people on the planet, the Struves.
That's true. A theme tune just went straight up in my head.
Welcome to the Struves. Dane's looking for a spin-off show.
Oh,
you know, all those kind
of
fight pass TV shows. I think Living with the Struves or Let's Meet the Struves. All right, so Volkov had a good, I think is doing really well, and there's a lot of potential fights for him as well.
This is the thing with heavyweight division. Such a small percentage of very good, very skilled heavyweights.
Velasquez has stood out injured. Ngannou's off.
Yeah.
Dos
Santos
is
Derek
Lewis coming
for drugs.
Back.
Derek Lewis is
once he's
saving the world.
That truck at the moment.
He's amazing, Derek Lewis.
He's
mate,
great.
Every single time I see his social media, high five.
It makes me happy. It cheers me up.
It does make me happy. Yeah. When he's being silly, but then also
he's a good guy.
Fantastic. But there's a small percentage of skilled heavyweights on the planet, and he is actually very, very skilled. He's a very good striker.
Yeah.
We had our first moment in that fight as well. We've had double knockouts. We've had double things. We had our first double eye poke.
Volkov suffered quite a few eye pokes.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the one. I think it's a problem for the planet Struves.
Yeah,
they obviously have to use their fingers a lot and stuff like that.
But
there were more really bad eye pokes.
It's a greeting. It's a greeting on planet Struve. That is it.
Their eyes, they've got albino eyes, so they feel out with their fingers to see where somebody is.
Exactly.
They can't adjust to the light here on planet Earth.
They're trying. They are trying.
They're feeling in the dark.
Alexander Volkov is pregnant with Struve's baby via those eye pokes. That's all I'm going to
say. Wow.
Yeah, but that was where the first of eye poke. But the other one, Siher Bahadurzada.
Now, I was going to ask you about pronunciation because there were quite a few sort of ASB fighters and ACB fighters that were in
there as
well.
I've got to talk about that as well. So there was some exciting... it was good night.
I'd never seen before, and so you must be familiar with these guys.
Very, very familiar indeed. So we'll jump back to I can't even say that. Bahadurzada. There you
it's
go.
It's hayfever, isn't it?
Thanks you. In a second, because that was him returning. He was fantastic. That finish.
When you're commentating, what do you do? Do you shut down? Barry's here.
Yeah, but you know what? When I'm with Frank, because Frank
can't be bothered to.
He doesn't reset.
He's not Google Translate. Is that what you're saying?
It was not the most hilarious thing when he sees the name for the first time, which is sometimes when the fight gets there.
What are you saying
about
Uncle Frank?
I'm breaking the secrets. I can see in his head he thinks of a nickname as quickly as possible.
It's a smart way to do it. Who's going to argue with Big Frank?
Yeah. I'm not going to argue with Big Frank because he is massive. But with these names, like Magomed Sharipov, who's the one, Zabit.
Well done, mate.
Thank you very much. He's the 145 who stepped in and did the Anthony Pettis kick off the cage.
It was incredible.
I commentated.
Highlight reel finish.
He was former ACB featherweight champion, and
right.
I commentated on his last fight at ACB, and he's when you meet him in the just in the hall or having dinner or anything, he's just the most chill. He's almost like a Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, and then he does that sort of stuff in the cage.
That was incredible.
And it was an incredible.
Do you know, in the wake of the to be fair to UFC Rotterdam, there were some exciting moments actually, and in the wake of all the stuff that is still going on that Malinowski's keeping going about the Conor fight, and Conor should be embarrassed of himself, it was actually quite nice to be reminded the weekend with some of those moments like that one there of just how exciting MMA is and UFC is.
It is, and
it actually grounded me back into it again in a way.
Those moments when you see a fighter and like
does something really inventive, and you go, let's forget about our everything that Conor's shortcomings were.
Yeah.
This is what our sport does, and what Conor exists in this world.
Yeah, and also peeling back because it was almost a showcase for the Russian. The British did very well, but I think five Russians fought on that card, and all five got victories.
Yeah, exciting victories.
Exciting
a lot of them as well.
Victories. Ediev, the light heavyweight, was just phenomenal.
How many unpronounced have they got? Is it Sumanov? Suminmagomedov.
Suminmagomedov. Mirbek Taisimov. That was it. His knockout was phenomenal.
Wow, just smoked him one punch.
But as going backwards as well, and it's like, a little tiny shovel uppercut, and the way the thing that said it all was when the camera.
My favourite KO of the night.
It was
that.
Amazing.
Put him to sleep.
Well, when the camera's over the top, I shouldn't laugh. Respect for everyone who steps in the cage, but when the camera's over the top and the guy's looking up in a strange angle, his head's facing the wrong way, and you can see on his face, he's like, how the shit did I just get here?
No, he thinks he's on planet Stroof.
Oh, it's amazing. But Taisimov is one of the nicest guys you, and it's one of those cliches, but he's one of the nicest guys you'll ever
meet.
What's
he like to hang out with the hall beforehand?
What's that?
The hall beforehand.
Well, what I will tell you about him, he has some of the best knitwear I have ever seen.
What do you mean?
He's a cardigan man.
Is he?
He's got...
Wow. Someone please start a meme of UFC fighters in knitwear.
Mate, he rocks a cardigan.
What about a Reebok cardigan?
Oh, why
You've
not?
You've got the hoodie. Why not a nice cardigan?
Why not? Exactly, huh?
Come on, Reebok.
Come on, up your game, would you? But I've seen him in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and he wandered in, and 2 days in a row he came through with... And I'm not a knitwear man, mate. You can see that. And he walked through with cardigans that took my breath away.
I'm going to be Googling today. We need to see those images.
You thought that's how knitwear can look?
Yeah, and it was on a fighter. That's
on a fighter as well, mate. Yeah, dreamy eyes as well. Dreamy eyes.
Right.
But Habilov did well as well on there. So for the Russian, and these are a lot from Chechnya and Grozny and Kazakhstan.
You start to realise how important Russia is and all those territories out there for the UFC's expansion.
Yeah.
And why they do need someone like Conor they need a big show out there next year.
They needed Habib to get his shit together
and lay off the cakes.
Yeah, to tiramisu and to be the star they want out there. He's massive. When you're in Russia is the only place I've ever been where they actually sell the UFC Reebok kits and people wear them. People, like, when you go to one of the arenas or whatever,
mix it up with a nice cardigan at the top.
You know what I'm saying?
Layer it up, Russia, okay? Layer it up. I love it what you're doing.
But it's a market, and this shows that they are slowly sort of growing the fighters that they get from there. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, you work in that market. I just couldn't believe they're all hyper aggressive, very competitive, and explosive, strong fighters as well. Really athletic.
Their base as well, the wrestling.
Traditionally, you always think wrestling, they got the strong ones, but they were strong strikers.
Well, Sharipov is a karate background, taekwondo background as well, and you could see that with the spinning kicks and the tags. Taisimov's boxing is some of the best you'll see. His Muay Thai, trains out of Tiger Muay Thai. With me going out to ACB, whenever they bring a new fighter on and the sort of matchmaker says, watch this guy, it always surprises me how many layers we've got over there, and that will be a huge market. And also, once they learn to, like Taisimov can speak some English, once they learn to market
themselves. That's what I thought as well, right? He had a really nice post-fight chat as well. His bit about Diaz and calling out...
Anthony Pettis, Showtime. He's been after that fight for a long time.
I hope they make it happen.
They have to make it happen.
Terrifying
off the back
for
of that.
Pettis.
Oh, my goodness.
But now he's back in the UFC. But that is a great fight to make happen.
Superb fight, and that region you watch, there's going to be people coming out of Russia, out of Kazakhstan, all that sort of area that are going to be superstars in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So,
all right, well, let's move on now to Hero and Villain of the Week, and then we get the real Karate Kid, the Samster, up. My Hero of the Week, you might not be aware of this. Are you aware that UFC, with all their various endorsements about their new, for me, exciting one?
Your face, I'm so excited about this.
UFC have done a deal with, in America, the 7-Eleven convenience store. No, you must spat your coffee out then. I'm not making this up.
Is that 100% true?
Yeah.
7-Eleven
Convenience stores. What? And the UFC. Now, let's just slow down our excitement about this news.
That is like the Premier League getting a thing with Spa.
Spa?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Greg's.
No, because you can have Wayne Rooney's Wine of the Week. You know, I mean, so... You know, that's not a bad tie-up, okay? But yeah, the UFC, their official convenience store is 7-Eleven.
The convenience store of champions.
Yeah.
And now I've been in a 7-Eleven a few times. I've never seen
I've never felt like a champion in a single 7-Eleven. How is that tie-up going to work? Have you seen the lard buckets that hang around a 7-Eleven?
Oh, my God, just outside.
Cody Garbrandt.
Do you know what's going to happen? So there'll be people drinking in brown paper bags just outside the cage while also selling weed just as you're about to get in the
John
cage.
Jones.
There you go,
John. That's what John's going to do for the next 4 years. Run a 7-Eleven out there in Albuquerque.
Perfect. Is that true?
Hair of the week. Is whoever in the UFC, I swear it's true, put that deal together. I just think, what are they going to see, like UFC snacks?
Oh, that's amazing. Is amazing.
All I've got so far is Bisping rolls and Paul Malignaggi wine. Anyway, who's your hero of the week? Bisping rolls.
And wine.
Yeah, Paul,
because he's a whining prick.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a great name for wine, whining prick. Let's wake him up again.
Yeah, come on, let's
get
go.
Up,
let's
Paulie.
Go. So look, my hero of the week is to do with one of the fighters that we just talked about, Magomed Sharipov. He is under the wing of Mark Henry. Now, Mark Henry, the striking coach of Frankie Edgar, Barboza, Marlon Moraes.
One of the best coaches in the world.
One of the best minds in the world as well. Now, this says a lot because they brought him over there and he's causing hell with all these, and they're all like, what's he called? Frankie Edgar calls him Zamazing or something like that. So
that needs a bit of work, that one.
Frankie, call us. We've got right. We haven't. We need him.
Bisping rolls.
Bisping rolls.
Because he was whining.
But Mark Henry, this is how much he believes in this fight. He is learning Russian to be able to communicate better and train this future champion. So I just love the
length. Have you tried to speak Russian? It's one of the hardest languages in the world.
I'm trying to learn it. I can tell you, I can say this. Это красивый собака.
Is that, I've got a rash again. How do I get rid of it?
That is a beautiful dog.
Because that's handy when you're commentating a fight out with Frank Mir.
Dva svetli pivo, two light beers.
There you go.
Tomli pivo, dark beer. Stras finitia, hello. That's it, I'm done. All right. That's it. But Mark Henry
is... You're not far off from being fluent, are you?
When you've been out there a year. My hat off to you, because it's one of the hardest languages to learn. Yeah. He doesn't have to do that.
No.
He's
investing in a future
that.
Champion, though. And his relationship with him.
Zabit's gone over there and he's living in America. Learn English, dickhead. Come on.
No, you're always going to be interviewed in English afterwards.
Yeah, and you're training with people.
It's a terrible thing, right? It's a terrible thing to say. However, when I see a lot of the UFC fighters who are really talented and they've got the translator, they don't have to learn a language. However, you know it's only going to earn you more money and market ability.
Yeah.
You know, for Verdum, you know, he spent a long time learning the language and stuff like that. It just helps them be a global star.
Aldo failed because of that.
Yeah.
I think Aldo did not get the fan support he would have got if whatever he was saying would have translated over to the Western market as well. So I think that's bang on. But Zabit, maybe pull your finger out. But Mark Henry, I salute you.
I saw the quote from Mark Henry saying he is, and I'm not just saying this, the single most exciting talent I've ever worked with.
Yeah,
and he has, like I said, worked with some greats.
My
villain of the week is, we don't need CM Punk back in the UFC. We didn't need him first time around. They're now saying it's not far away from announcing his return.
Oh, do you know what?
We just don't need it.
They're in the sad trap where they've set this thing up, and again, they'd set it up as a little thing, just an experiment, but because Bellator will snap him up.
Yeah.
Because somebody, and let's face it, just Bellator will sign him if he leaves. UFC now feel trapped to...
But they should let him go.
Let him go.
Because that's a sign of confidence, of when you can go, go and do that. You know what? I just think it embarrasses the UFC. They're better than that. The Brock thing, I don't like it, but I can understand
The Brock thing's different because Brock
is
a specimen. Brock, you look at Brock Lesnar and you think,
he's produced some dodgy specimens.
Yes. He's got too many balls.
Five of them.
But Brock is, that was just, the Brock era was unbelievable.
He's a gifted athlete.
He's a scary human. Even if his skill set's very low. Whereas when you get to the lower weight classes, welterweight and lightweight.
Just remember what that CM Punk fight was
like. Oh my goodness. It was yeah, it's, we don't need it, and they're only doing it because they don't want Bellator to happen.
They're trying to get more WWE fans to come on board, and I get it, but that isn't the way to grow the sport.
Russia, China. Do it. China, go down there, grow them up. Give Europe better events.
Yeah, that's the only thing about Rotterdam. It had some great moments, but it also needed mixed in a really big American name over on the card.
Well, this is it. This is a nice link.
There's all these fighters that are desperate to get elimination bouts at the moment, and they're all stacked in lots of divisions about when the planes are going to land.
Yeah.
There are these cards in that, the Rotterdam one, there's a problem. You could have easily fitted two or three top headline fights or co-main events.
Well, one of the people my villain of the week was going to be Sean Shelby and the other matchmaker, just because I think it's short-sighted to do American events with American-based fighters or Brazilian and people from that part of the world, and then European events without peppering it with some names. Jim Miller's been on social media this week begging for a fight. He's never had to do that. He said, somebody spill blood with me in the in the octagon. I want to fight October, November. People are queuing up.
A whole load of fighters like that. They're just sat on the sidelines getting frustrated. Bring them to Europe.
It means
you get more eyeballs
and
on the fights.
We will watch. So if you put a Jim Miller on there, Cowboy Cerrone,
bring them
over. There's names to sell it on. There's more talking points. So I think
the knitwear we have over here is to die for.
To be absolutely honest. So my villain of the week is Sean Shelby. Just because UFC Rotterdam. The other sad thing is that was Abit's first fight in the UFC.
Yeah.
He walked out to a half-empty arena. The cameras did very well to hide it, but I know people that were there, press that were there, and they said it was half-empty,
I'm not surprised.
No, not at all. But you look at the card, and there are some amazing fighters. They proved to be amazing fighters. Give us
but
some names
not yet
on there.
Names.
No, put some names on there.
Yeah,
stick
that's all.
Some people on there that will sell a few tickets, and then you can talk about as well. So yeah, Sean Shelby, my villain of the week.
Okay, we are gonna up next then on the show. Then we're gonna get the Real Karate Kid, our 14-year-old super fight fan. Let's get him back on. The Real Karate Kid is up next.
Oh,
no, that was a lackluster one from the
mate.
Kid.
Wakey,
what's
come
up?
On.
Back to school this week. Come on, you're packing your bags.
I'm high on Moams, Christian.
High on Moams. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Trying to get back into the school rhythm. It's not good.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, no, it's tough, isn't it? Those long days.
Three breaks.
You've had 5 months off or whatever. No, it must be a tough one. Cry me a river, Karate Kid. So let's talk about this weekend. Are you excited about this card, about DJ?
I think you'll break the record easily, do you?
Yes. Yeah, no disrespect to Ray Ball, whatever he's called, but no one's ever going to be in a situation where you're like, God, this is really on the line for it.
Not at all.
DJ, anyone. And they're good people they put him up against, but it's just not, there's no threat there.
What about if he moves up to bantamweight? Do you reckon there's any threat there?
I think bantamweight, obviously that's his last loss. Dominic Cruz was at bantamweight, and that's the reason he dropped down to flyweight was the size thing. But I do think he's a different fight. He'll cause 90% of bantamweights a hell of a problem.
Yeah, he will.
And then there would be a few that could cause him problems, like your Dominic Cruz's and your Cody Garbrandt's, people like that. But yeah, it's just a shame that on this monumental weekend we're not celebrating exactly what he's breaking and what he's doing. We're talking about what ifs rather than what has happened with his career.
And other fights, let's talk about this weekend. And there's some other fights that are good ones to look forward to as well this weekend on UFC 215. Rafael Dos Santos is fighting. Santos is fighting as well, isn't he?
Dos Anjos.
Him as well.
Yeah, him as well. Against Neil Magny. Neil Magny. That's
a
great
Magny.
Fight.
That's a good fight.
Neil Magny is a machine, and Dos Anjos is...
Well, that's illegal.
Come on. It's an experiment.
Yeah, you should have Matt Hughes and his machine in there. I can't have... He's a machine. Come on, UFC. Sean Shelby's now matching up machines.
That's it. They'll be testing his oil to make sure he's not got any Tyrannobol in there, mate. That'd be
a WD-40. He's tested for WD-40.
What's your pick on that card then, mate? Which one are you looking forward to seeing?
I really like DJ. People say he's boring, but I think he's a really smart fighter.
He's amazing to watch, and I'm glad that you're actually saying he's a great fighter.
You know what, you picked out Cormier, and I love your support for Cormier, and then DJ as well. I'm impressed, mate.
You heard what's happening with Jones about the positive.
We've done this, mate.
Oh, dear. I've got to be honest, when you come on these days, you're a little bit punchy, okay? you're looking for a fight. You're like someone who's been drinking all night. He's trying to cause trouble here about Jones.
Come on, then. Give us what's gone on.
So we actually passed on the test, didn't
he? Well, he passed the blood test. That's what we talked about earlier. So turanabol is actually only detectable in urine,
test. This is now GCSE physics.
Chemistry.
You tell I failed maths and physics. That's why I'm a wacky DJ.
That's why he's a wacky radio, the local radio. So the actual drug test that he passed was a blood test, which doesn't test for turanabol. So everybody that put that around, it was sort of a false statement. So we will find
out. But you know what's nice now for a young boy like this is at school to learn with the show about drugs.
Nice. It's good. And how to hide it. That's right.
You must be. Are you competing next in Kyokushinkai? You fighting soon?
Well, I've just been to the karate camp over the summer.
Oh my word! Break that down for us. What do you mean the karate camp? Where?
It's about 15 minutes down the road in some private school.
That's where all the best fight camps are.
That's right.
I think John Jones stayed at that private school.
You've got Tiger Muay Thai over in Thailand. You've got
a boarding
Jackson
school.
Wink.
And then you got your Hogwarts
Saint
down Trinia. The road. That's amazing.
Oh dear. That's brilliant.
Oh, wait, what are some of the challenges? You've got to mop the dormitory floor. Wax on, wax off. Clean the quadrant. So how long was the karate camp?
It was 3 nights, so it's Friday to Monday, and then we started doing a bit of knockdown, because obviously I was training with the juniors, and then wiping them out, obviously. So they put me up to the seniors, so now I started doing knockdown, which is...
I've seen live, actually, that is actually insane. Dolph Lundgren used to be the world knockdown champion. It's the most physical form of karate. How did you get on with that?
It was hard. Just about getting. So I'm pretty good at clickers. The clickers are non. So you still kick. You still kick them and still punch them, just not directly to the head.
Right.
But knockdown is where you keep going to the other person.
It's knockdown.
Knockdown.
There's no getting away from that knockdown, is there?
The rules meeting must be great.
I mean, fair play to Dylan.
Oh,
that.
Mate,
it's insane.
I love it. I love it. That's wicked, my friend. And yeah. I'm jealous that you're getting into it at such a young age. Do you do any grappling? That sounded dodgy. What are you doing at the weekend?
You want
to grapple?
All right, Uncle Creepy's turned up.
As soon as I said it, I'm like,
say, young man.
Nogi. She fancies some Nogi. You want some Nogi, Nogi?
You want to earn some extra cash? Let's see how you move.
Stick some wax on this. Come on.
Maybe in Russia. In Dodgerstan, where we are this weekend. Let's just move on from the whole grown man asking young lad if he has to grab.
I've got grappling camps next week. It's at my house.
Why is it just me and no one else at the camp?
Guys.
Why haven't you got any clothes on? Why are you covered in Swarfiga?
Yeah, dear.
Now let's go back to UFC 215 rapidly. I'm looking at what about Jeremy Stephens and Gilbert Melendez?
They grapple.
They have to grapple.
Olive skin Melendez. Can't keep hold of him. Oh, dear. There we go.
I've got an idea.
That we should maybe stop
arrest
this.
Brian.
Stop this show.
We put him on a list.
Delete the episode. We record this near a school. I won't be allowed back in.
What is your idea?
So after the big mega fight of obviously we've had Connor and Floyd, and then we got Triple G and Canelo, DC Jones. We've had all the big mega fights. I was thinking I had an idea for a mega fight. So it wouldn't necessarily have to be a fight that's going to happen, but we can maybe discuss how we think it's going to play out.
Like it, go on.
Yeah.
So you know how Brock Lesnar was meant to be fighting Jones?
Yep.
Which would have really tested USADA. Jones obviously won't be fighting there. So I'm thinking, what about... Get ready for this. Brock Lesnar, Anthony Johnson.
Dude, that's a great fight.
Short fight.
But I think Anthony Johnson knocks him the hell out, to be honest.
Yeah, but as long as it does he does that in the first round. Otherwise, he breaks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He always breaks.
If he can avoid the grappling, if he can avoid that wrestling.
No, let's not start getting on that again. Oh, dear, listen. Stay away from the grappling, Mike.
If he can get double underhooks. Oh, dearie me. Body triangle. Yeah. He's going to knock him out. That's as far as I'm going. I'm out.
I think we've reached the end of today's show. I think with the grappling moment. Well, listen, Sam Stowe, we'll catch you next week.
I'm free Tuesday.
Sam Stowe, have a good week, buddy. As always, it's a joy to chat to you and us.
Us.
All right, see you later. That is the show.
That's quite literally the end. We can't actually carry on. That's the end of the whole show. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thanks for listening. We're going to just wrap up the whole thing now. Okay, enjoy the UFC 215. Don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes. And your questions were outstanding this week. If you got any more, or you want to answer the one about the ultimate kind of UFC fighter, email me oc@ultimatecouchfans.com. And I'll get... Brian will let you know his contact details if you're actually meeting up and earn some extra cash on the side as a grappling partner with him. Look out for Turkish Bryce grappling weekend.
Figure a fart.
It's in a static caravan.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.